May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. I love Advent and Advent music. I think the Anglican Church, of which we are a part, has some of the most beautiful music, and we sing it in Advent. And the hymn we sang this morning is a favorite of so many, and it's a little wonder why. I mean, sure, the music is uplifting, but I think it's the words, which come out of the reading we heard this morning from Isaiah, that makes this hymn a song we love to sing in Advent. Comfort, comfort ye my people. Speak ye peace, thus saith our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning neath their sorrow's load. Well, that, my folks, is a hymn and passage for us today. For we too sit in darkness, mourning beneath the sorrow of our load. Personal sorrows of so many. That's true. But also the collective sorrow we feel at what is happening in the world today. I mean, just this week, our nation's leaders have passed a tax bill that would profit corporations and the rich on the backs of the poor and increase the cost of health care, remove tax breaks for students. And sadly, it doesn't even stop there. While this may seem complicated, as taxes seem to be, it really isn't. It's simply robbing the poor to pay the rich. It's a crime against decency. And we sit in darkness mourning of the lack of courage, morality, and prophetic witness in those we have chosen to serve. And there are outbreaks of hate and oppression, legislated from our leaders in travel bans, immigration arrests, and rhetoric, and experienced in the streets by racists who feel empowered to openly proclaim their hate, terrorizing the least of these. And then there's the proliferation of men who feel empowered to assault women, while the women feel they must remain quiet and in the shadows out of fear. And we sit in darkness mourning of this plague of bigotry, xenophobia, sexism, and misogyny that has infected our world. The earth and its creatures are dying at our hands from abuse and neglect. Our leaders not only turn their backs, but continue to deny scientific evidence of what is happening, support the destruction, and uphold the institutions and individuals that commit these crimes against God's creation. We sit in darkness, mourning of our indifference, our neglect, and our abuse of what God entrusted to our care. And we call out for comfort from our darkness. You see, that very act, that call, is the first step to something larger. You see, part of what is difficult for us, I think, is the sense that all of this is happening and we feel we have no control. The mourning comes out of a sense of hopelessness, of passivity in the face of overwhelming darkness. We feel powerless, and that is a road to despair. And it isn't the road God wants us to travel. Now, speaking of traveling down roads, there's a story in the book Marry Your Muse. It's written by Jan Phillips. And she writes, last winter, during one of the worst blizzards of the season, I found myself on the on-ramp to a freeway with a 30-mile commute ahead of me. It was already dark and the snow was pounding against my windshield like artillery bullets. I drove at 20 miles per hour, my nose only inches from the steering wheel. Something tells me some of you have probably been in that same place, right? Hunched over in fear and focused alertness, I headed straight into the storm as it whirled around me like a fierce tornado. Oh my God, I prayed out loud, puffing small clouds of warm breath into the chilly air. Please let me get through this alive. No, I thought, that's not good enough. I need to be more specific. It wasn't just staying alive I wanted. It was a sense of safety, some relief from the swelling fear. Okay, God, take the wheel. Get me home safe, okay? Of course, now I was reverting to my eight-year-old Catholic self, who counted on the man with the beard to somehow materialize and work a miracle. That always pops up in an emergency, but I knew I had to go deeper than that. Okay, I blurted, I don't need some outside force now. I need to access the God inside. I need the whole damn battalion of inner troops for this one. Road, I am car and tire, and I affirm our oneness. We are one whole, moving together, and all is well. And the prayer, which had not come from my head, but someplace, deep place below, was not about rescue, not about changing the circumstances. It was simply about accepting the real, becoming at one with what was around me. Now, but see, it was about changing the circumstances, or at least how those circumstances were perceived. And it has everything to do with what our scriptures are calling to us to do in the season of Advent, and more importantly, in the world today. The driver of that car took what was happening to her and entered into a partnership with God. Now, this does not mean that we should go out on slick roads and say, hey, no problem, God and I, we've got this, right? Don't do that. But taking an active part in life circumstances can change the way we move through it, if not the outcome. You see, we're not unlike the people of Israel. In these dark times, we cry out for comfort. But as we hear in the scriptures today, God replies back with action, our action. Cry out, God says. Prepare the way, Isaiah proclaims. God is looking for partners in the work she's doing. And in the gospel, John the Baptizer, using the words of the prophet Isaiah, repeats this call to prepare the way to God, for God. But John doesn't stop there. He says, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The active force of God in the world. Interesting, don't you think? Why on earth would Jesus need to baptize us with the Holy Spirit? And there is something else we often miss in this gospel. It's the first line, which scholars contend is actually the title, not part of the text. The Gospel of Mark starts with this. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The author didn't say the good news of Jesus Christ, but the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. This, my friends, is a story that was only beginning then, and it continues to this day. The life of Jesus told in the Gospel of Mark isn't a nice, neat, tidy story that happened a long time ago. The Jesus story may have started in a crib in Bethlehem, a birth we await in Advent. But the purpose of this birth today is to have Jesus reborn in our hearts so that we may continue the story. The gospel, the good news, continues in us. We are the prophets. We are Christ's life, all in partnership with God through the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to live this out, then we need to access the God inside, as the woman did that night in the car. Because being prophets, doing the work of Christ, that requires some truth-telling. And while it will be an Advent experience for us, drawing us from darkness to light, it is also the kind of work that will really annoy some people. It's the nature of things that truth-tellers, which is another way of thinking about prophetic work, are not generally the folks most people want to invite to the party. As Gloria Steinem once said, the truth will set you free, but first it will really piss you off. John the Baptizer and Isaiah, for that matter, all the prophets, and Jesus too, can attest to that. And here's the thing about this work, something we sometimes miss about John or many of the prophets. It rarely happens in the centers of power, but among the powerless. John didn't stand among the crowds of Jerusalem. But went out into the wilderness, the place of wild things, nearer to those on the outer circles, the forgotten and the least. It's where Jesus did nearly all of his ministry until it was time to complete his work on the cross. And it is where we must go. Dr. Caroline Lewis of Luther Seminary put it this way. The beginning of the good news happens in the middle of nowhere. The good news of truth and justice for all will be cried out from the prophets willing to accept the truth. The truth will be known in the outskirts, in the unexpected places, the spaces where boundaries have been crossed and that needed to be torn down long, long ago. Out of darkness, from the depths of our mourning over what is happening all around us, we cry out to God for comfort. And God will always answer back with love and a call to prepare the way for God to enter our hearts. Advent places us in the amidst the darkness of the world, not so we can despair, but so we can act. Because the story that began so long ago begins anew every Advent, really every day. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ is one part of the larger story of God at work in the world into which she calls us to be actively partner with her, to be a part of the changing what is for what may be, of continuing the good news of Christ by being Christ in the world. And the choice we make each morning is whether or not we'll be a part of it. Whether or not we will continue the story, whether or not we will prepare the way. For if we're to be comforted, we must choose to access the God inside, because this is not a time to dwell in darkness mourning, but to make new paths for the light of God's love. Guided by the Holy Spirit, those paths we make will be forged by truth. And the truth we proclaim, the light we will shine on it, is the Christ within us. And the places, the paths God calls us to make will always, always lead us to the ones we despaired most for. The hated, the oppressed, the poor, the marginalized, the earth, and all the creatures that inhabit it. We will go to them and stand and proclaim the good news. We will be truth tellers, calling the world to a new way of being. We will make way for God in our lives and for the God at work in the world. All of this, the comfort we seek, we will find. Because darkness will no longer be for us a cause for mourning, but an opportunity for partnering with God, for continuing the story of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Amen.